This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website MBE. The title to this extemporaneous prayer 1-7, mind, all capacity, functionality. The 1-7 means that the intent is to cover all seven synonymous terms for God. On page 465 of this book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy defines God, corporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In the glossary, page 587, very similar, but emphasis on a few different. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. The same page, the definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. On page 591, the definition of man. Man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. From the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, it says, and let us make man after our image and likeness. Verse 27, and so God made man after his image and likeness. And it later says, and God gave man dominion, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, if we connect the dots through these various definitions, what is left out? Nothing. God includes everything, and man is the image and likeness of God. So in other words, the Creator, or the Source, God, includes the manifestation. Otherwise, God would not be a source. If God had no manifestation, God would not be a source. But we know God is the source of everything, and everything is good. The title is Mind, All Capacity, Functionality. Mind is where we begin, because mind represents enlightenment. Are we going to be enlightened that mind is all capacity and all functionality? Frederick L. Rawson, one of the greatest Christian Science practitioners of all time, next to Mary Baker and few others, he demonstrated the belief of time. So back in time, and he did it over 500 times. He was one of three that had 15-minute appointments. Four people an hour. They came in and left, totally healed. He wrote a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, in which he lists 1,315 different ailments. Mary Baker Eddy says that we should expose the evil and then explain it away with the truth. He does exactly that. He gives you what the material viewpoint is of a particular illness, and then he tells you how to explain it away with the truth by giving you the absolute opposite of capacity and functionality regarding to the particular problem, and shows you how to do it. In his writings, Frederick L. Rawson states that we should cover things such as matter, materiality. Mary Baker Eddy says we need to cover birth. We need to deny that we are born as a material product of a male and a female. Jesus did not even have a male that was involved in his gestation period. Whatever has been demonstrated by someone else, they're only paving the way with their axe going through the forest, making a path. Are we going to follow in the path? Are we going to start all over reinventing the wheel? Should be an easy decision. We will show you how to do it, utilizing all five senses, which is much easier to have success than if you're working with one hand or both hands tied behind your back. We give you a recommended sequence and details on every event if you want to learn how to heal. The links to the pages that explain it are right at the top of the content area of the home page, which is just below the header. The reason we want to start at birth is because any claim that is made at the time of a so-called material, it needs to be declared invalid as quickly as possible of when one becomes aware of the claim. If we're dealing with it after the fact or after the theory, a better way to describe it, then we need to go back in time, and Frederick L. Rawson shows us exactly how to do it. As noted, he did it over 500 times. You are encouraged to go to the website and click on Rawson in the author menu and get all the details. Pre-existence is a topic that fits in here, because if there is no real material birth, that means we always existed previously, pre-existence. Because of the definitions that have been recited here about God and man, is there any legitimate reason why we should accept man being defective at birth, at a so-called material? There's nothing in the Bible about it. In fact, when Jesus was healing a blind man, the disciples asked, who did sin, this man or his parents? I don't know how they figured that the innocent child would have sinned because he was blind at birth. But anyway, that's the story in the Bible. Jesus did not accept it. He did ask him if he had faith that he could be healed, and he said yes. The founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute was Helen Wright and her husband. Helen was the active one. Her husband had another profession. She made this her profession, and she studied Christian Science her entire adult life. She gave us a wonderful book entitled Your Divinity Revealed. Chapter 4 of the book is devoted to learning thoroughly about the term mind as used by Mary Baker Eddy. Chapter 5 is about spirit. Chapter 6 is about soul, and so forth up to chapter 10. She made a list of every time Mary Baker Eddy utilized the capitalization of the first letter of the word in each of these seven. And we have the seven documents that she provided as the output of that research. And there's approximately 50 words that Mary Baker Eddy used to describe each of the seven terms. It was a total of 350. So it was an average of about 50 apiece. Those terms, the better we will understand what they represent. For example, the terms that represent mind, to describe mind, we recommend the serious student study that book from beginning to end on a continuous basis, as well as the textbook, of course, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And as noted, we give you the exact procedure that we recommend so that you're using all five spiritual senses to learn. And remember, if one is not born of a material mother and father. And if God is defined as being all capacity, all functionality, all faculties, could anyone be born with a defect? Where would it come from? It couldn't come from God. The Bible says God created everything, and it was very good. And He gave man dominion. If we were born with a defect, is that an example of God giving us dominion? No, it's making us a slave. It's making us subordinate to something that is supposedly made out of matter, our brain, or any other problem, nervous system, our heart, anything at all that affects our functionality and faculty of seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste, and our functionality of being able to use our arms and legs and being able to think, being able to remember, having perfect balance. All of these things have to be perfect if we believe what Mary Baker Eddy writes about God. If we believe what the Bible tells us about man and God. Habakkuk tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. If anyone can behold something, they have that within their consciousness. If we behold evil, we are evil in our thoughts. Jesus says thinking about something is the same as doing it. If we think about someone being evil, or someone being the object of a birth defect, which is evil, something ungodlike, then we're saying that God has defects. Because the Bible says God created everything. And Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean that God revealed everything, because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So a birth which appears to be new, is not really a birth at all. It's a revelation of a concept of something we did not know existed. And so we've been taught to believe that there has to be a male and a female that get together and produce matter, and matter ends up growing in the mother's womb to become a baby. And the baby is then born with the possibility of having defects. Every baby is born with defects because it's born with the belief that it's going to die, that it's going to disappear, it's going to have its life terminated at some point. And it's probably going to have trouble as it grows and peaks out and then deteriorates until the end. Mary Baker Eddy says that mortal man is the result of compounded lie upon lie. That's an example right there. Being born with defect. Being born differently than what it says in Genesis chapter 1. It doesn't say anything in Genesis chapter 1 about man having defects. It doesn't say, oh, we have a new birth here, but, oh, sorry, this one is no good. We have to insist on perfection in every thought, speech, and action about ourselves and about everyone else. Do we have time to criticize God? That's what we're doing. It says God created everything. If we think that something is defective, we are saying that God didn't know what He was. He made a mistake on this one. Oh, that one is okay, but this other one, oh, another questionable one. Let's throw it over here in a basket by itself. God doesn't know anything about evil, Habakkuk tells us. He's of too pure of eyes than to behold a mistake, a defective offspring. He doesn't have time for that, because there is none. The Institute knows of a case where a child was born, and the doctor that attended the case pronounced all kinds of problems, put all kinds of limitations, not just for a short time, but for life. The parents sought the help of a practitioner, and the practitioner said, write down everything they say about your child, and then if they say anything different the next day, this is before that they released it from the hospital and the mother, and they said, then the next time they tell you anything, write that down and compare them. Are they consistent in what they say? Obviously, they were not. Their story would change almost 180 degrees. Because they don't have a structure and a system. If someone gets a bad prognosis from a doctor, it's common for them to say, I'm going to go get a second opinion. Opinion! Not facts. Opinion! Because what doctors operate on is theory, not facts, theory. If they operated on spirit, that would be fact. If they operate on theory, that is opinion. Do you want to put your life in the hands of someone that just has an opinion? Or in the hands of God, which is based on fact, and it's recorded in the Bible, and Science and Health, and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings. Which one do you want to depend on? Are you even a little bit curious about the one that is not dependent upon theory? Einstein stated that science without religion is lame. And religion without science is blind. He said that after thoroughly studying the textbook. He thoroughly studied the textbook because he had a friend named Underwood who was on the Atomic Energy Commission during World War II who was trying to help figure out how to blow up civilization. I think his friend probably regretted that time when he realized what they had tricked him into doing. But he was the only one out of the whole group that survived. Everybody else passed on from radiation. And when Einstein inquired about him and everybody else being gone, and he found out that was the case, Einstein got real serious real quick. Attended the local church, visited the reading room on a regular basis, and then came out with those kind of dramatic statements. Revolutionary statements. The couple that had the baby moved. And in their new location, they went to see a Christian Science practitioner. And by this time, the child was about 2 or 3 years old. And the practitioner said the first thing you want to do is teach the child how to read. You see, that's one of the things that the child wasn't supposed to be able to do. Read, remember, put any logical sequence together. So they did. They taught the child how to read. The child became an avid reader, loved to read. They bought her a set of books called the Classics. Loved them. There were, I don't know, 25 or so books in the group. The child loved it. The child wasn't supposed to have a good sense of balance. So what'd they do? They taught the child acrobatics. The child did cartwheels, all kinds of tricks, and loved it. They taught the child how to swim. She was an avid swimmer, and ice skating. She loved it. Rode a bicycle. Loved it. Guess what else they did? She loved music. Loved to sing. They taught her how to play the piano. They had a piano teacher come in every day. Every day, 7 days a week, 2 hours a day. And what do you think that child could play in 3 years? Any song up to 2 and 3 flats and sharps out of the hymnal. I don't know, something like 350 or 400 hymns. A child with that kind of acclaim had a special bone structure in their head that gave them a very unique look that was not attractive. As they were teaching her these things through tutors, in some cases, the bone structure was changing in the head, such that the child looked completely natural. She would get up in church on a Wednesday evening and give a testimony, and nobody had a clue that she had any kind of claim on her that made her supposedly different than the normal person. She could carry on a conversation with anyone. She got a thrill out of it when they went to the grocery store. She'd talk to the people in the line, in front of them, behind them. Is it honest to put a limitation on someone else, whether they are dependent or not? Aren't we putting a limitation on God if we put a limitation on an individual that Genesis says God created? What do we gain by criticizing God? By limiting God's ability to bring forth a child, a new revelation? Well, one thing, we increase our ignorance and reduce our knowledge about truth. We totally ignore the quote from Jesus, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we don't take advantage of what Shakespeare says, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." We're going to just be passive and let what everyone else says or thinks, universal thought, universal belief, and accept it. Instead of accepting what Mary Baker Eddy says, that it's a bunch of baloney. She says it's lie compounded upon lie. And Wentworth Winslow says it all comes through a communication system, a media, and don't pick up the media. What do we want to put into our consciousness? What kind of thoughts do we want to dwell on? What do we want to have to influence our life experience? Theory or fact? Theory or fact? It's our choice. It is our choice. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to accept God as being a limited God? That what He brought forth as a new idea for us to be restricted in its perfection, in its capacity, in its faculty, in its functionality? Look yourself in the mirror. Would you think that you would be better off if people told you about your limitations, or if they recognized your capacity and functionality. Which do you think would have the best impact on you? For many years, the concept of positive thinking was cultivated by people who were promoting success. What do you think happens if people are promoting negative traits or limitation in one or more ways? Is that going to help the object of those thoughts or injure them if the individual is passive about it? If they're active in refusing to accept it and flip it and say, this is what is true, not this other stuff. This is the truth about this child or whatever, whomever you want to refer to. It is up to us to decide what we are going to think, say, and do. Jesus says thinking about something is the same as doing it. Do you have a larger closet of mistakes if you include that as fact, that every time you think about something, that's the same as doing it? How can you think about something unless it is within your consciousness? How can you be influenced by something evil unless you have your thought open? Mayor Baker Eddy says, do not enter an atmosphere of evil unless in an attempt to purify it. And she doesn't recommend doing it purposely, because once you get evil in your consciousness, cleaning it out is no easy task. Suppose you drop an egg on the floor, and it's a tile floor. It's no fun to clean it up. But what happens if it's a carpet floor with a short carpet, short-haired carpet? It's worse than the tile, far worse. Suppose it's a shag rug. I don't even know that they have them anymore, but they were in style at one time. Those are long loops. Boy, that would be a terrible thing to try to clean up. The best thing to do is to not make the mistake of dropping the egg. The best thing to do about our consciousness is to not let any evil thoughts enter therein ever. Stop it before it gets in. Refuse it at the onset of its effort to use you as a resident. That's by far the easiest solution. The most difficult is being passive or even enticed and inviting evil in your thoughts, and then try to figure out how to get rid of it later. Purity is not diluted. Not one speck of dirt can be in purity for it to be pure. Not one thought about limitation can help anyone if the goal is for progress. Mary Baker Eddy says anyone that studies Christian Science will be benefited in many ways. She has a long paragraph about it. Practical Science is the title. It's in Science and Health. Practical Science. It is an individual choice on how we decide to work on our own salvation. Do we want to use fact or fiction? Truth or error? Divine mind or mortal mind? Spirit or matter? Material senses or spiritual senses? Principle or chaos? Life or death? truth or error, love or hate. It's our choice. Mathematics has add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and they're called operators. And of course, they have the 10 digits, 0 through 9. You apply the operators to the 10 digits, and that's called an algorithm, and that gives you a product. If you multiply 3 times 10, you get 30. If you go to a higher level of consciousness, then you can use exponents. 3 cubed is the same as 3 times 3 times 3, which is 27. At the higher level than just looking at the math tables and figuring out what the answer is. You need to be able to do this of your own volition. If you have a burning desire to improve spiritually, that's the first step in being able to heal any problem. And what do you think the second step is? Out of all the 7 synonymous terms, which one do you think is the most valuable? It's love. Why? Because love represents motherhood, and motherhood represents nurturing all of the other qualities. So it is inclusive of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. So it is the most comprehensive. Although all the other qualities reflect all of the other synonymous terms as well. But that one particularly has the unique characteristic of nurturing as a mother would. Love is considered motherhood. Life is considered fatherhood. Truth is considered sonship. Mary Beck Reddy had one of her students visit her. In the early days, she permitted them to visit her if they had a problem on a healing, so she could maybe give them some clues on what to work on that maybe they weren't thinking of. So one day a gentleman came to see her, and she was so spiritual that she could tell what they were thinking. Like Jesus at the well, he told the woman her entire background. So she asked him, without him even saying anything, she said, what do you do when you're walking down the street, you know, in a busy time of the day and there's people all around? He was contemplating, wondering, well, what does she mean by this? If I'm on my way to an appointment, I'm walking to the appointment. That's what I'm doing. I'm not thinking about anything particular. Or I might be thinking about the appointment or whatever. That's what he's basically saying to himself. And he didn't answer for an extended period of time, so she finally said, are you a Christian Scientist? Then he knew exactly what he should be doing. If he observed an accident happen, should he sit there and condemn the person that probably made a mistake that made the accident happen? Does that solve anything? Certainly, if he had an opportunity to help. In fact, if he was seeking to improve his own spirituality, he would feel that he was a criminal if he did not do it. It is an obligation to do it, because you're being in line with God. You're being at one with God. Whereas if you ignore somebody in trouble, you're on the opposite spectrum. As you can tell by now, it's a very easy formula. Very easy to understand. We're either on the straight and narrow path with our total allegiance to the laws of God, and that's the only thing we enthrone in our thought, or we don't. We either enthrone that in our thought or we don't enthrone it. If we don't enthrone it, that's the same as enthroning the opposite, because we're passive. And what happens to evil when one is passive? It grows. It's like a mushroom. When it's hidden, it grows really well. Is that what we want? Do we want to let evil grow within our thought, knowing that it's going to be a whole lot more difficult to get it out than it is to let it come in? And no matter how much we have to resist accepting it, it is a far easier task than accepting it with open arms and then try to figure out how to get rid of it. Once something is seen, to unsee it is a whole new dimension of difficulty. A whole new dimension. It's light years in difference. And a light year is how long it takes or how far light would travel in 1 year. Soon we will know about the inventions of Tesla. Nikola Tesla, back in the 1900s to 1940 or so. Because our president and the White Hat military have all of his papers. And the evil people, and we don't want to think about them as evil, because that's being a devil. But evil is shaking in its shoes, because it knows it's going to be exposed. The patents have been suppressed for 80 years. In fact, probably more. He probably had some of them in 1900. That'd be 125 years ago. 126. America has not been a free nation. Ever. We have been under a constitution that was illegitimate. We have an article that we just put up on the website today that shows a Supreme Court decision that the Internal Revenue Service is unconstitutional, totally invalid, and they've ordered it to be disbanded totally within 6 months, knowing that it's ingrained as a very large organization within the U.S. government, so they're giving the president 6 months to totally dismantle it. The building is now closed. I think it was as of last. And some 90 days have already passed. There's like 91 days left for the 180 days to expire. Because this ruling took place around 90 days ago, and it was kept under seal. We published it today. The Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve building is empty. It has been sold. Non-functional. The Treasury Department has took over totally all the functions that were legal of the Federal Reserve. Most of their functions were illegal. They printed money. And then they loaned the money that they printed, that cost them nothing, to the U.S. government and charged the U.S. government interest for loaning it their own money. The Federal Reserve was a group of private bankers. It's not federal at all. It's a private cartel. All of these things are being exposed. We need to be exposing any evil that we're thinking about other people. Any limitations we're putting on a newborn child. Any limitations we put on any child that's in school where the teacher says, well, this one is falling behind and not performing the way they should. Should we just accept a problem as being real? When Genesis 1 says God made man in his own image and likeness? And Mary Baker Eddy says the same thing in different words, saying that man is a compound idea of infinite spirit. And spirit is defined as flawless, the opposite of matter. Matter is all flaw, and spirit is flawless, purity. Which do we want to accept? What we accept in our consciousness is our life experience. Shakespeare gives us the big clue. Are we going to really study that and figure out what it's telling us? When Mary Baker Eddy says, "Oh, I am blessed." How is she blessed? What does it mean? The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Mary Baker Eddy figured that out. Pray without ceasing means we need to live our prayer. What is it we want? Are we living as if we already have it? Are we living so that we deserve to have it? Are we working in a spiritual way? I didn't finish telling you what was number two on the list in order to... Number one, we talked about that. It's our attitude. We have to know deep down within our consciousness that there has to be something better than what we are experiencing in life. If we don't feel that way, that means we're not interested in trying to make any changes. So you came to the wrong place. Because Christian Science is for people who want to improve their life. They have decided that there must be something better than the life they have. Have you come to that decision? If you haven't, you're probably not going to gain anything from Christian Science. Or maybe you have curiosity. Then read pages 600 to 700, which are the last 101 pages in the textbook, entitled Fruitage. It's a record of 85 verified people who had healings combined of 486. That's just under 6 healings apiece. They were looking to have one healing. And they found, oh, I got these other 5 problems. Many of them were not even discovered until after the healing was done. And then they realized that the healing was complete on all of them. Because healing doesn't come as a result of working on solving the healing problem. It comes as a result of working on improving our spiritual understanding of God and man and the relationship between God and His manifestation, which is included in His source, included in what He is, which is the manifestation. The manifestation. There is no source unless there's a manifestation. And there's no manifestation unless there's a source. God and His manifestation are one. Otherwise, they are both none. We have no existence unless we have a source. A source has no quality of being a source unless it has a manifestation. God is the source and we are the manifestation. The entire existence of everything is the manifestation. And God gave us dominion over everything. Are we going to practice the dominion He gave us over our own capacity, which is really the capacity of God, the functionality of God, the facility, the power, the performance, the omnipresence, the omniaction? God gave us control over all of that. But only if we recognize that it's a result of being the reflection of reflecting those qualities from God. We have to recognize that God is the source and we are merely an image. We're not the owner. God is the owner. because that's what God is. God is defined by the words, the terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses to define him. Physicists have tried their whole life trying to figure out how the universe ever became into existence and what makes it operate. They never did it. Why? Because they worked on a material basis. They worked on the theory that matter was real and spirit was esoteric, which couldn't even be defined. So which is it? Is matter real or is spirit real? Which one are we going to believe? It's up to us. Are we going to believe that somebody can be born with all kinds of defects because some man or woman tells the parents that this is the future of this child? I'm sorry to tell you, but, you know, they're going to have nothing but difficulty their whole life. Can you imagine taking upon yourself to be God? That's what we're doing. If we criticize someone, because we're criticizing God, that means we are playing God. We are taking away from God that God is the source. We're not letting God be the source in our thought. We're going to be the source. Whatever we say is true about that person. We may want to hate them and rationalize hating them because they did something better than we did. A wonderful movie is Remember the Goal. Remember the Goal. The cross-country teacher of the high school girls' running team said, do not look to the left, do not look to the right, do not turn around and look behind, see if anybody's coming up on you, and do not look in front of you for individuals. You better look in front of you so you know where you're going, but you're not going anywhere if you're going to focus on other people. You have your own race to run. And that's been specified by the coach on how you're supposed to do it. And you've been trained by your coach so that you're going to be capable of doing it. Don't worry about whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game that makes the difference in whether you're doing something right or wrong. If you don't know how to play the game, you shouldn't be in the game. You shouldn't be running the race if you don't know how to run it. And it takes training because we have to educate our brain to accept something different than what it believes to be true. And we have to do that with every new idea we introduce to it. That's why the President of the United States is playing the strategy, or using the strategy, of drip, 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 advising the population one drip at a time, because it would not accept it if it was given too much at one time, because the brain rejects anything that is different than what it has been taught to believe to be true previously. What in the world are we going to do about it? It's our salvation to work out. Are we going to blindly accept whatever we're told? Or are we going to do like Einstein says, that he has its own reason for existing? Never stop questioning. And Jesus, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from anything that is not true. Free from the lie about birth, growth, depth, matter, spirit. The lie about spirit is that spirit is subject to matter. The lie about matter is that it's real, when in fact it is unreal. The lie about mind, that it is mortal instead of immortal. The lie about principle, that it is chaos instead of harmony. The lie about our senses, that they're material instead of spiritual. The lie about life, that we have no control over it, when we have total control by just reflecting the life of God. The lie about truth is that truth, it used to be, but it's not important anymore. Just tell your little white lie and let it grow, cover it up, nurture it. That's a way to get ahead. I don't know where you're going to get to. I don't know where the head is that you're going to, but it's certainly not God, because God made man in his image and likeness. He didn't give man anything. He is just there and ready to be reflected. Do we want to reflect God? Or do we want to be God? Every time you criticize someone, you're criticizing God. You're trying to be God. Is that what you want? You think you have the power to change God? Then why do you pray to God? Genesis chapter 1 says, "And everything he made is very good, and he rested on the seventh day." He's done. God is finished. He finished his work. He created everything that exists. Let's put it this way. He revealed everything that exists. He did his duty. Are we going to accept it as it is? Are we going to accept that it is perfect? And that if we see it imperfect, it's us, our wrong view of it, our incorrect perspective, that we're looking through the wrong lens. We're looking through the lens of matter that's got mud on it, instead of spirit, which is totally pure and transparent. When we see someone has a difficulty, do we believe that that's true? Do we believe that God made difficulties for his own image and likeness? Are we ready to condemn them or help them? What are we going to do? Help someone in need or condemn them? I was talking very unfavorable about one of my sisters. I told my mother, "Why doesn't she get on top of her life?" Guess what she said? "You have no idea what her challenges are at this very moment." That's what she said. "You have no idea what she's dealing with." Do we have any idea what anyone is dealing with that seems to have trouble? We posted on the website just in the last 3 or 4 days a song by Elvis Presley. And it says, "Walk in his shoes 1 mile before you condemn him." 1 mile. Walk in their shoes 1 mile. We can't do it. But if we could, we probably would not be condemning him. We may be congratulating him on being so strong and resisting their problem. Not giving in to it, not giving up. If we are not them, we cannot know exactly what they're dealing with. And if we don't know what they're dealing with, what right would be logical for us to be able to judge them? Have we ever had a difficult time with anything in our life? Or has everything been just smooth from beginning? A church was making good progress, they thought. And so they wrote a letter and told Mary Baker Eddy. Smooth as glass. She wrote back. What do you think she said? She said, that's too bad. Because if everything's going smoothly, that means you're not making progress. Because if you're making progress, that means you're bringing up new challenges. Because whenever you make progress, there's going to be a challenge to overcome. So if everything is smooth, you're not working thoroughly enough. You don't have enough desire to go forward, and you're just dabbling around, totally oblivious to the real opportunities. It's in her writings. Check it out. Check it out. It's in Mary Baker Eddy's writings. She reports the whole thing. So what are we going to think about the child that seems to have trouble? Are we going to condemn their parents or condemn them? Like the disciples asked Jesus about the blind man. Who did sin, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither. Neither did this man sin nor his parents. And the only reason that we are faced with this situation is to have an opportunity to glorify God. In other words, bring forth the healing. Are we doing that? How are we doing on our healing? We still didn't cover the number two point. The number two point, if you look at anyone that is really successful in healing, Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, or any of these three people that were mentioned, Frederick L. Rawson, Wentworth Winslow, and Joel Goldsmith, 15-minute appointments and their patient was healed. What is common about every one of those, they had an extreme desire and lived a life of giving. Giving. I read a quote just recently, and it said, you can take everything you want with you when you pass on, as long as it is what you have given away. You can take everything you've given away, but what happens with what you have taken? You have to leave it all behind. You have to leave everything behind that you've taken. What you have given away, you can take it all with you. Think about it. Think about it. If you have any questions, contact us. The bottom left icon at the bottom of every page called the footer is a picture of a man's head. Click on it. That will take you to our contact page. Or in the menu. Open the menu in the top left corner of every page. And it's down in the bottom group of four or five links. Click. I'm not going to give you the answer. Contemplate it. And if you can't figure it out, then we have the opportunity of a lifetime. Mary Baker Eddy didn't have copy machines. When she wanted two or three people to have a copy of the same thing, she had to hand write them or have her assistant hand write them. We have cameras on cell phones. Let alone the wide variety of cameras that are available if you're a professional and you want something better than what the cell phone offers you. So we've got copy machines, we've got scanners, we've got cameras, we have recording devices. We can use our concept of hearing, a very important quality of the five spiritual senses is hearing. Because more than any other one, it means spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Are we going to cultivate a life of giving? If we don't cultivate a life of giving, don't even think about a healing. Because if you are living a life of taking, you're not going to be successful. You are not going to be successful in healing. You cannot be, because they're the opposite. You have to give the benefit to anyone you're involved with to heal, including yourself. You have to give the benefit that they are not what they appear to be, someone that is sick, or someone that is diseased, or someone that can't think, or someone that is dead. You're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're going to judge them. If you are not cultivating a life of giving, you are going to judge, which means you're taking away the very right they have to be the image and likeness of God. You're a taker. If you're working on a project because you're going to make a lot of money, are you a giver or a taker? If you're working on a project that's going to make a lot of people very happy and it's going to give them a wonderful thing that they never had the opportunity to have before, are you a taker or a giver? Was Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, a taker or a giver? Was Microsoft, the founder of Microsoft, a taker or a giver when he stole the whole idea from Apple? Was he a taker or a giver? Is someone that does an evil act a taker or a giver? When someone kills someone, are they a taker or a giver? When someone gives something to someone anonymously, are they a taker or a giver? When someone helps someone learn something, are they a taker or a giver? Everything that we do, we should do it because we want to take it with us when we pass into another dimension. Every single thing. We shouldn't do anything unless we want to take it with us. Because then, we are an individual that's a giver. Think about it. What am I going to do right now? Can I take it with me when I go? Well, then I'm not going to do it. If you can take it with you, then by all means do it. Spend your whole life doing things with you. In other words, spend your whole life giving. Giving to other people. Whenever you walk in a store, look around. Keep alert to everybody around you. And see if there's a single person you can help. What would happen if everybody in America or everybody in the world did the same thing? How often would we be in a war? If we as a country looked around and see, is there a country we can help? We have the capacity because all capacity comes from God. Do we really have a genuine interest in helping other people? And by the way, we advise that you do not give money to large organizations that claim to be a tax-free entity that is a charity, and they have these sad pictures of children that are starving to death. You know who the one is that has the Tesla electric cars? We try not to mention names, titles. We can make a title. He's the man that is responsible for putting rockets up in the air and bringing them back and landing them in their launch pad. The man that brought forth and made a conversion to the entire electrical car industry. We never had electric cars before he showed up. He has done so many great things for the public. He said when he thinks about something new, he tries to think about something that is a problem that has never been solved. What happens when we solve problems? Are we giving or taking? We're getting rid of a problem. What is that? He will be able to take a huge amount of stuff with him. Because he has spent his whole life giving, giving. And what happened when he was giving? The same thing that happened with Solomon. King Solomon was the wealthiest man in the world and may still be considered that. This man is currently the wealthiest world. He spent his life giving. Giving. and he ended up being the wealthiest man in the world, by far. Our president has never taken a penny salary all the time that he was president. Never. Never taken a penny salary. There's never been a president in the United States that did that same thing. Not a one. Have you watched, if you have criticized a president, have you watched any videos about his life? There's videos that other people have taken about things that he's done for other people. He saw a woman that was homeless, and he let her live at the top of Trump Towers, one of the most luxurious places in the world to live. Didn't charge her a penny rent. Are we going to devote our life to giving or taking? When we go to work, do we think about the money we're going to make? Or do we think about how can I help the employer? How can I help the one that is paying me? How can I go the extra mile? Am I just a clock watcher? Or am I a giver? If you see an accident, what do you do about it? Are you going to take it in thought and say, oh, that's too bad? Or are you going to give them some of the Christ consciousness, healing thoughts that could help them? If you see a stray dog, what do? I know someone that carries dog food with them and a container of water so that when they see a stray dog, which they do from time to time, they're prepared. They give them a container of food to eat out of and they give them fresh. What are we doing with our life? Are we the good Samaritan, or do we walk on the other side of the street? This treatment will come to a close, and I'm going to state the scientific statement of being, which anyone that's a Christian Scientist has heard it from the church podium, but it's a powerful statement. And we can substitute words in there. Take the word matter, and you can either substitute it with what the name of the problem is that you want to solve, or you can supplement it with the name of the problem. Here is the prayer, one of the most powerful things Mary Baker Eddy gave us. It's like the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer that Jesus gave us. And Mary Baker Eddy says, if we understand the spiritual sense of that prayer, we will be able to heal anything instantaneously. Anything. We can do the same with this prayer. The scientific statement of being. It goes like this. And think about substituting that word or supplementing the word matter and man. Individualize it for the circumstance at hand. I know of cases where people have been by doing that very same thing, just working with this one short statement. The idea for healing is you have to get your thought off of the problem, and you have to focus on improving your spiritual understanding of God and man and the relationship there too. And man is generic. It means man, woman, or children, or animals. Here is the scientific statement of being by Mary Baker Eddy. It's in the textbook on page 468 of Recapitulation chapter 14, which is a summary of chapter 1. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen. One other thought here. You're welcome to contact us about any question you have about the Bible, any of Mary Baker Eddy's writings, about the system, page 146. I applied the system on what we were talking about today, but I didn't give you the title Baker Eddy refers to. It is presently Monday, May 18, 2026, at 17:33. The title to this prayer treatment, which has been extemporaneous from beginning, is 1 to 7, meaning we covered all seven terms, and the focus was mind, all capacity, functionality. Thank you for listening. The end.